And on that very first day, Miss Lona Killen, my first grade teacher, wrote on the board, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor more than silver and gold." Proverbs 22, verse 1. The very first verse I ever memorized at Athens Bible School, one of many important verses, but that was the first one. And I'm sure that Sister Killen thought that important to teach us on that very first day, us first graders, about a good name. Another way of considering that verse is considering the word reputation. The kind of reputation that we have. And that's what I want us to consider tonight. The reputation of each and every one of us, individually, as we walk through this walk in this life. We have visitors tonight, and for that we're thankful. We have a lot of people gone from here, probably upwards of 30 to 40. So we're kind of thin in spots, but we welcome you who are visiting, and I hope you're not here to hear Jeff, because you're going to be disappointed. But we're thankful that you're here. Among those visitors, I feel compelled to mention Brother Don Osborne and June, his wife, who have meant a lot to me through the years. Brother Osborne was one of those teachers at the Bible school that had a profound effect on me in a good way. And as time has went on through the years, the things he taught me, the spirit he displayed, come back to mind often, time and time again, and it's still important, Brother Osborne. And I've told him that before, so I'm not embarrassing him, but I needed to say that too when I saw him here tonight. What do people think about us? What do those outside of Christ think about us? And tonight specifically, I want us to consider and apply our reputation to those that are outside of Christ. We hold in our hands the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the kind of reputation that we have as individuals are vital keys to our being able to affect those that are outside of Christ with the gospel. And our reputation is kind of what we make it. Reputation, defined by Webster, is overall quality of character as seen or judged by people in general. Recognition by other people of some characteristic or ability. A place in public esteem or regard. Good name. Back to that same concept of Proverbs 22:1. Good name. I think we know what reputation is. And probably each one of us have a pretty good feel for what our reputation is in the world to those around us. It's important that we check that regularly. In our own minds, examine ourselves to look at that. Because our ability to influence others, the perception of those outside of Christ, or it's a direct product of my reputation, maybe of your reputation, to everyone you come in contact with. So I think we see and recognize the importance of that concept. To begin with tonight, I want to look at how our reputations affect those around us in three different ways, basically. The first one would be how our reputation can affect our family's reputation. Most of us here come from what we would say good stock. All these young people here scattered out, you're from good stock. Don't ever disvalue that. Understand that. You inherit a good reputation because of your last name. Probably every one of you here. But you can ruin that if you're not careful. It's important you maintain what you begin with. You can affect the reputation of your family by the way you conduct yourself and the way you live. So it's important. We have some examples in the Bible of people with a bad reputation and people with a good reputation. Turn to 1 Samuel. And I'll kind of bring you up to speed as you're turning there. We're going to start in chapter 2. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we have recorded a lot of history about Eli. Eli was a judge. Eli was also a priest of Israel. And he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And these two sons that we're going to look at really were evil, wicked people. And they did not uphold that good reputation of Eli, who God had made judge over Israel. Eli maybe didn't do what he should have done to correct his sons later on, we'll see. But they were miserable failures as far as maintaining that reputation. Begin with me in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Let me turn there as well. 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for a roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." But if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, and you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Eli's sons had a reputation. Verse says, with all of Israel, all the Israelites who came there knew what to expect from Hophni and Phinehas. And it was not a good thing. And it was very displeasing to the Lord. The sin was great in God's eyes. And it got to the point where the Israelites abhorred coming to offer the required sacrifice to God. Hophni and Phinehas had a reputation, not good at all. And they threatened the people if they did not give as they should, not give them as they thought they should of the offering. It got worse, though. Look down in verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all of Israel. There's that concept of reputation again. How they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You see, these two sons of Eli were so corrupt, they committed open adultery at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. That's pretty evil, folks. That's pretty evil. They had absolutely besmirched and smeared their reputation. They ran roughshod over everything their father had tried to stand for as a judge of Israel. And they would not listen to him, and it saddened him greatly. Young people, you can sadden your parents greatly if you're not careful. And I look back on my life, and I'm ashamed of how I was at times. But you have a chance to repair that reputation as time goes on. Eli's sons never got that chance, as we'll look and see in chapter 4. And I won't read it, but you can read it for yourself later. But they were so corrupt that they took the Ark of the Covenant, which was supposed to remain in the second room of the tabernacle, and they carried it to war with them. And during that war, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines, which brought even greater shame upon the Lord and upon his commandments, upon the way he intended for things to be done. They absolutely had no regard for what was supposed to be holy, in this case, the Ark of the Covenant. And in that battle with the Philistines, they were killed. They lost their life. And when Eli got word of that, it was devastating to him. His primary concern was the Ark of the Covenant, though. And when he heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, he fell over backwards and passed away at that point. Very devastating. All this is, demonstrates to us the poor and ungodly reputation of Hophni and Phinehas. Well, there's an example also in the Bible of a young man with a good reputation. You may be ahead of him, you may be thinking of that good young man. The young man Timothy. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we can read some about the good young man Timothy and the great reputation he had. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy 1 says, "When I called remembrance," this is Paul speaking, "the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." You see, Timothy's grandmother had a reputation. His mother had a reputation. And Paul was confident that it was in Timothy as well. It was something that was passed down. That good name was passed down. A good reputation. You see how that reputation affected his family as well. He could destroy the reputation of his mom and his grandmom. Not destroyed it, but he could affect it in a negative way if he had not been what he should have been. But Paul was convinced that he had the kind of reputation that he needed to have. He was the kind of man he needed to be, a young man he needed to be. And he was that confident of him that he was maturing enough and responsible enough that he was willing to carry him on missionary trips. And we have that in Acts 16:3. Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. He had proper priorities with his talents and gifts. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." Young man Timothy was everything that God wanted him to be in every way, it would seem. And Apostle Paul admonished him in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So Paul's encouraging Timothy to keep that reputation that he had. Young man Timothy did his family proud. He did his family proud. And we can do our family proud. We can do our family's name proud, or we can destroy it. It's up to us. Second way I would suggest that our reputation is it affects others would be the way our reputation affects the church in general. This particular local body of the Lord's church. I determine, you determine, how the world around us views the Oakland Church of Christ in so many ways. We have examples of bad reputation. That would be the Corinth church. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we can get a little clue to that. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 13 or 11 through 13. Apostle Paul, and this is speaking of the Corinth church, and this is their reputation. "It has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" You see, there was dissension in the church at Corinth. They were arguing about who it was better to be baptized by, of all things. And that created a reputation that was not good for the Corinth church. But their reputation got worse. If you read on in chapter 5 in verse 1, Apostle Paul says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife." Another example of the Corinth church and how bad their reputation was. You think the Corinth church could be effective with those kind of things going on? I hardly think so. And when we turn a blind eye to those sort of things, let's just say we had that sort of thing in the Oakland congregation. And there are some congregations that have that sort of thing in them. that goes unchecked? How effective do you think they can be to those in the community, to those around? And I sure appreciate our elders here who are quick to try to address problems when they come up. It's a great challenge for elders of a congregation to shepherd the flock, to guard against those sort of things. Because the reputation of a church is vital. It's vitally important to protecting the church and making it to where that church can have the kind of influence in the community that it needs to have. Third way that I would suggest that reputation for each one of us is important is we individually, in so many ways, determine God's reputation before all that we come in contact with. The way I behave myself, the kind of character I have, the kind of reputation I have, lends itself to how people perceive God that are outside of Christ. We are the only Bible that some people read. And our reputation effectively either draws them to God or turns them away from God. You see how reputation is so important. Matthew 5 and verse 14, very familiar passage. Let me just read it right quick. Matthew 5 verse 14, the great Sermon on the Mount of Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are to draw people to glorify God. And if we've got our light shining, as we should, we're going to have the kind of reputation that will bring glory to God. And it will cause other men to glorify God, other women to glorify God. You see how it's important? Vitally important for what people think of God that are outside of Christ. The Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think, paints a story there or a picture there that tells us a lot about this same concept. I'll just read four or five verses. 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning verse 6. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." We see that the Thessalonians once had a bad reputation, that being of idol worshipers. But they turned it around to a good reputation. Apostle Paul tells us how effective it was. It was effective enough that he said, "We don't need to say anything because of the work you're doing." So we see there that the right reputation, the right character can be effective in bringing glory to God. And that's exactly what the Thessalonians done with their reputation. I think we see and recognize that our reputations are critical to affect those we associate with outside of Christ. If we're going to get to first base, we've got to have that reputation that's right. Our culture and our society has really sped up through the years. It seems like we go at a warp speed with everything we do relative to 15, 20 years ago. Technological advances and all the changes have really served to speed up our culture. the computer, the internet, things like Facebook, texting, all those sort of things are things that are common to most of us that we use, but they serve to speed things up. But also those things can be used in a way that can destroy our reputations. Depends on what you do with them. They're great tools to use if they're used correctly, if they're used to bring glory to God, but they can be also used to be negative influences for our reputation. All this technology creates a much more public environment for every one of us. You can send an email to someone and they can forward it to someone else. They can forward it to somebody else. But on that forward, it usually shows where it come from. Your reputation's on the line. Texting's the same way. You can forward a text. Facebook. You can hit that little icon that says like. And you can like something that maybe you shouldn't like if you really think about it. You can share things that maybe you shouldn't share if you really think about it. I'll give you a case in point. A few days ago, and I've just got into Facebook, probably take up more time with it than I ever intended to. It's kind of addictive a little bit. Maybe some, that may be something else we need to really be careful about even getting involved with it. But nonetheless, I participate some in Facebook. A few weeks or a few days back, I noticed somebody had posted on a, they had shared something that says, if legal injection is inhumane, what is abortion? And I thought, well, boy, that's right on, which it is. That is good. I'm going to share that. And that inscription that I shared was written on a church marquee. And I didn't even notice that when I shared it. And it was written on a group of religious people, the Calvary Mission Church. And I don't know what that is. But when I shared that good statement, if lethal injection is inhumane, what is abortion? I was also sharing Calvary Mission Church. I don't know if that was wrong, but after I realized what I'd done, I couldn't take it back. I'd done shared it. I thought, if I'd noticed that, I might not have done that. Real easy to mess up. And it could have been a lot worse. I wanted to make the point about abortion, but I probably give some credit to the Calvary Mission Church, again, whatever that is, in doing so. So you have to be careful what you share. You can damage your reputation. You can damage the reputation of the church. And you can hurt the cause of Christ. So just be careful with all the things that we use that used to not be a problem. Well, how do we develop the kind of reputation we want? And there could be many sermons preached on that subject, how to develop reputation. My time is fast getting away, so I'm going to try to say just a few things from a couple of verses, and we may look at a few more verses and discuss those points. But character traits that are necessary for the kind of reputation that we want to have to influence others with the gospel. I thought, well, what's a verse I can use that would maybe sum that up? And as I thought about these verses, then I saw the need to say some more verses, so I'm going to try to do that in the next 10 minutes or so. So bear with me. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And I've already mentioned Brother Osborne, but when I think of Brother Osborne, I think of probably every one of these 9 character traits of the fruit of the Spirit. And none of us ever master those, but they should be our goal. If we can develop the fruit of the Spirit in our character to the degree we need to develop it, And I would suggest that our reputation is going to be really close to where it needs to be. I think these are keys. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The very first thing Apostle Paul says is love. Everything begins with love. And I would suggest that love first for God, and then love for our fellow man. Matthew 22, the verse that seems to always come to mind when we think of love, and I hardly ever preach a sermon I don't use this passage. Somehow it just seems to tie with so many subjects. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love begins with loving God. And then second, we should love our neighbors ourselves. Love our fellow man. Giving of ourselves and doing for others with no ulterior motive is pure love. Love for God and each other are the key, I think, in building our reputations. If we love God like we should, we're going to be motivated to serve Him. And that's going to go a long way to establishing the kind of reputation we want. Then if we love our neighbors ourselves, those around us, then that's going further, give us the kind of reputation that we need. Number two, joy. When I think of joy, I think of being happy as a child of God. And we all have burdens in life. And those burdens tend to rob us of joy at times. Brenda sometimes will. Something will happen, it'll be discouraging. And I'll hear her say under her breath, "I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy. I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy." She's fighting it. She's fighting it. And we have to fight for our joy. But you got to have that spirit to maintain that joy. We can be sour or bitter. It's up to us to make that choice. But that affects the kind of reputation we have with those around us. If we're bitter, people are going to see it. If we're sour, they're going to see it. And we're going to have that reputation. 1 Peter chapter 1 is a verse that I brought out in class this morning. Neil brought it out again this morning in his sermon. And many times the Bible repeats itself three times, so we're going to use it for the third time today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, beginning in the middle of the verse. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We go through life, we got to keep that end goal ever in our view. If we can do that, it's easier to hold on to the joy that's in Jesus Christ. Joy. We've got to hold on to it to have the reputation we need to have. Number three of the fruit of the Spirit, peace. Peace, I would suggest, is first with God through Jesus Christ. That's the first peace we need to have. Romans chapter 5 is just one of the most powerful chapters in all the Bible to me. Verse 1 of Romans 5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God through Jesus Christ. When we have that peace, it will go a long way toward us building that reputation that we want to have. It will show. Number four, the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. Some translations say patience. Pain comes in a lot of forms in this life. There's adversity in lots of different ways. Disease, betrayal of your friends, maybe of your spouse. Disappointments come in life. How do we handle pain and suffering? How do we handle it? A chapter that's one of, or a verse that's one of my favorites, and the one that I turn to often when pain affects me, and it affects us all, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have here recorded the example of Paul and the thorn in the flesh. Again, verse 8, Paul says, concerning this thing, this thorn, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, and I've got wrote in my Bible, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Apostle Paul had got to the point in his life where he embraced pain. He embraced distresses. He embraced all these struggles. Why? He realized that those were his best of times. Why? Because he realized that's when he was made stronger. And that was the ultimate goal for Apostle Paul, was to be strong in the Lord. We've got to learn. I've got to learn to embrace pain. That doesn't mean the suffering's going to go away. But when we learn to appreciate it and respect it as a useful tool, then we can learn to be long-suffering. Long-suffering is one of the real keys to developing that character. Quickly, kindness. Kindness, the fifth fruit of the Spirit. The second verse that Miss Killen taught us in the first grade was Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, the golden rule. None of us want to be treated unkindly. None of us enjoy that. Don't treat others unkindly. Simple. Be kind, just like you want other people to be kind to you. And to develop kindness, to be a person with a reputation of a kind person, will go so far in having the reputation that we want to have. Number 6, sixth fruit of the Spirit, goodness. When I think of goodness, I think of people that are guided by God's Word, exemplifying and communicating the Word of God. That's goodness. And you've seen people that, if they spoke, it was biblical. Might not be quoting Scripture, but it would be a biblical principle coming from their lips. That's goodness. Romans 15:14 is a verse that come to mind. Look at it right quick. Romans 15:14. Apostle Paul said, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. See how Paul made the connection between goodness and being able to communicate and admonish one another. Goodness is a key, one of the keys, this fruit of the Spirit, to us being able to communicate and admonish those outside Christ. Number 7 of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. When I think of faithfulness, I think of stability and trust and devotion to God. Unwavering is faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is another passage I'll look at briefly. 1 Thessalonians 3, we have recorded here how that the Apostle Paul was wondering about the Thessalonians, wondering how they were doing. And when it got to be more than he could stand, the curiosity got the best of him, wondering about them. He sent Timothy to check on them. And let me just read a few verses. Beginning in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, talking about sending Timothy, lest by some means a tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also do see also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Faithfulness. Our faithfulness can comfort those around us. It can comfort and bring comfort to those outside of Christ. Our faithfulness, another key component to our reputation. Number 8, gentleness. When I think of gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, I think of someone that's approachable. We've all seen an old barking, growling dog, and he's not very gentle. What do? To a barking, growling dog. We try to avoid him, don't we? We keep our distance. Not gentle. But what do to a nice, pretty dog that's wagging his tail and smiling at us and just begging you, come pet me? What do? We go to him. We're drawn to him. That's gentleness. To be gentle is a real key to the kind of reputation that we want to position ourselves to affect those outside of Christ. Gentleness. And finally, let me say a little more about gentleness. Approachable. We've seen people that are not very approachable. And we've seen people that just, it would seem, always looking for a fight. Want to fuss and want to argue. And they're not very gentle people, usually. I'm not talking about compromising truth. We never compromise truth. But that gentle spirit that goes with standing for truth is such a key to our being able to effectively communicate the gospel to others. Gentleness. I have a dear friend that I've grown closer to through the years, and he's a member of a Church of Christ here in Limestone County, what we would consider to be an institutional group. He and I have some regular discussions about our differences. And I have to be careful to be gentle with him because I want to affect him. I want to help him recognize the danger of the positions he holds. But I'm going to tell you, gentleness is one of the real keys to being effective. And some of the people I've talked about that are not gentle, that are always looking for a fight, I wonder sometimes if they've really been in the battle for people's souls. I don't know. But you get out on the battlefield fighting for people's souls, and you're going to realize the need to be gentle. It's a real key to having the reputation that we need to be effective. To be effective. James says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. We've got to listen. It's hard to listen when you're talking. So we've got to listen to the other side and be gentle as we speak. Real key to our being able to affect them. The last one, and my time is gone, I know. Self-control. Someone in charge of their actions. Unshaken by the struggles of life. Someone that's in control. I think we know what that means. A life that's set apart to honor God. A life that from someone who knows God is going to develop that reputation of self-control. Well, does my reputation, does your reputation demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about tonight? It's key. Three areas we looked at. What does my family think of me? How is the Oakland Church perceived as a result of my personal reputation? And does my reputation bring glory to God? Do those outside of Christ think of me and see Christ? Are they drawn to Christ because of the way I live, because of my reputation? Is my reputation one of holiness? Or do I have an irreverent reputation? Is my reputation one of love for God and for others? Or am I known as someone that's selfish? That's more interested in what I want. Do I have a kind reputation? Or do I come across as harsh? Am I known in a community as someone that's harsh, that's hard? Am I patient? Do people see me as patient? Or am I quick to jump on someone to revile? Finally, am I long-suffering? Or is my reputation one of someone that gives up in the face of trouble? I think we can see how that reputation is such a key to our being able to affect those outside of Christ. What is your reputation tonight? You may realize that your reputation is not what you want it to be. And if your reputation is not what you want it to be and what it needs to be, then it is public. Reputation is a public thing. You can take the first step towards reclaiming the kind of reputation you want by publicly admitting that. We all have things probably we need to consider that away from time to time. If you're outside Christ and not a Christian, then you really need to take that first step to have the reputation of a child of God. You do that by repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus Christ, and being baptized into the death of Jesus. If you're here tonight and subject to the invitation in any way,
We invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.